Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Hello, everyone. Now, today, I am joined by the sensational After 60, Elizabeth Villiger Tufixis, who is life coach, NLP practitioner and hypnotist, author and motivational speaker, who has combined her vast life experience over many countries and many jobs to help others truly make the most of their lives. Elizabeth will be sharing her life secrets to help us embrace our age and age with grace. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Julie, for having me.
Well, I am delighted, especially to have you with us all the way from Cyprus, even if only digitally. Now, can you start with a brief summary just of who you are, what you do, and why you do it before we move on to the core of the subject?
Of course, of course. I love the way you introduce me. It makes me sound very important. I am just a very simple girl. I started off from a small village in Switzerland, and I had quite a bit of a tough time as a child because I had no parents, and I grew up with my grandparents, but I was a feisty little thing, so I decided to make the best of it, and I started working at 13, and I always knew that I wanted to leave. I didn't like the place where I grew up because I was bullied and you know, all sorts of things. So I planned my escape, and I became a tour guide.
Right.
And with the money that I earned at the age of 13, I started learning languages because that's what you needed to know as a tour guide. You know, in those days, when I'm talking about 1980, I never went to university. I don't have a university degree. I did some further education later on, but there were certain things to become a tour guide, to work abroad, or the only way to work abroad was to either become a flight attendant or a tour guide. There was no EU. Right. You couldn't get a work permit. So that's how I started off and was a tour guide for 11 years all over the world, had the time of my life, wonderful time. Although those years, you know, I always look back at those years, those 11 years when I was in my 20s and gorgeous and long-legged and blonde, I was actually not really that happy. You know, yes. I'm much happier now because I hadn't found yet what life was about. I'm making this a little complicated and longer probably than 3 minutes, but I actually found a book at some point when I was a tour guide in Florida, and I bought this book, and it's called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Murphy. So at the age of 29, I found out that I had a subconscious mind. I didn't know about that, you know.
Now, I do know, as I also read your article, that your path has not always been an easy one yet. That's exactly what inspires me in you, is that you radiate, you know, joie de vivre and feeling good in your skin, a fantastic French expression that I've still not managed to find a good translation for. So, I mean, how do you do it? How do you stay so full of life? And as you say, happier now than you were at 20 when you were long-legged, though you're still gorgeous now. How do you do it?
I don't always do it. You know, right. That's the thing, yes, that we have to be aware of. You know, of course, and I post positive stuff on my Facebook. I am not always well. There are days where I feel like, you know, I'm not going to use that word now, but I feel, yes, like, you know, and that's okay. And in my book, you mentioned my book, it's called The Soul Kit. My first chapter is, it's okay to feel down sometimes.
Exactly.
And nobody always feels good.
And that is exactly what I want to talk about, because to be honest, you know, none of us are going to relate to you if you say that, you know, it's great all the time and I embrace every day, and that, because that's not who we are. We're all human.
No.
And it's all work in progress. So it's more the fact of how do you get yourself back in? I mean, you say joie de vivre, so you've done so many things. You've lived in very many countries and you've picked up a lot of human knowledge and wisdom, which I like about you so much. It's got nothing to do with what degrees we've got at school. This is the real stuff, the life experience. How did you become this person? So you found this book on your subconscious mind, which revealed a lot of things to you. If I remember well, you also came across or attended a very young Tony Robbins, didn't you?
Yes, I did. That was a very funny story, because I was working in the US. I was working out of LA, and I was between two tours, two round trips, because sometimes the one tour left on Thursday and the new one arrived on Sunday. So I had these 2 days off in Long Beach in one of those crappy Holiday Inns. And I didn't want to go sightseeing because sightseeing was my job. So I was bored. I was bored walking around the hotel in the morning. And, you know, they have all these ballrooms and all these announcements. And I saw this thing saying public speaking seminar. And I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's what I do. I'm a public speaker and I speak in front of tour groups all the time.
Yes.
So maybe I can learn something. And I went to this seminar and I have to tell you, up until today, I don't think I paid for it. I think
I hope he's not listening.
I wish he did. I wish he knew what he did to me because he was a crazy freak. Tony Robbins, we are the same age. He was born in 1960. So it was in 1989. We were both 29 years old. And I was awed by his way, the way he was talking. I did not probably listen to everything he said, but I was just amazed by the way he was so pushy. And I liked that, you know, he was kind of telling people, get a life, you know, stop feeling sorry for yourself. I mean, this is what he does and he does it very well. But I bought his book, Unlimited Power.
Yes.
That was, I think, his first book. And that book, I still use it when I do my goal setting every year. Because at the end of the day, many versions of many books have been written about personal development, about goal setting, about whatever. But it's always the same, isn't it?
Yes.
It's always about the same stuff. It's always about, it's important what you focus on. You know, it's important. Focus on what you have and stop focusing on what you don't have. Focus on what you can change and stop focusing on what you cannot change. And make a plan, you know, make a plan. And don't sit on the sofa and hope, you know, like, you know, like
exactly.
The Secret is a nice book. But if you just say, I am beautiful and I am great and I am rich and you sit on the sofa and wait, nothing's going to happen.
When's it going to happen? No, I mean, but that's what I like. And also, I mean, you mentioned at the beginning, you know, that things had not been easy for you in your upbringing and nor were they for Tony Robbins. If I remember well, he had a very harsh upbringing, which is what made him the man that he is. And I do think that one of the mistakes that too many of us make is to actually identify ourselves by what went wrong. And I mean, lots of things do go wrong in life. We don't control everything. We can try to do our best, but you know, as we say, shit happens. And the most important thing is, what do we do with it? Do we use that to say, I'm a victim, poor me, everything always goes wrong, and I'm live under this gray cloud and indeed attract more gray clouds? Or do we say, okay, right, didn't like that, but what have I learned from it so that I actually become richer from what I didn't want to happen, rather than feel diminished and taken away from that? And I have the feeling this has been part of your philosophy as you've moved forward.
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is exactly, and since you've used the word shit, I might as well use it too. Oh. And it's so true. Shit happens, and it happens on a daily basis, and it happens to all of us. And this is what I mean when I say that I'm not always well, and that it's okay to feel down. Because when it happens though, and this is one thing, there's another book that I love, and it's called Man's Search for Meaning by Dr. Viktor Frankl.
It's my number one, I must admit. Here it you is my see? Number one, but that's the book that changed my life.
You see, and that's it. I read it much later. I can't say it was the book that changed my life, but it definitely added a lot of wisdom to my life, because what we have is, we don't have a choice to what happens to us, but we always have a choice how we want to react to what happens to us. Yes. And that's more or less the message in this book. And this is what I live with, more or less successfully, not always, you know. Sometimes I feel sorry for myself as well, but you're right. I mean, I would have every excuse, considering my beginning, I would have every excuse today to say, you know, I had such a difficult childhood and I was bullied and I was this and I was that. So that's why I don't want that.
No.
Because the question then is, and I have clients, of course, who are, and I understand them, but the question then is, does that make you happy? Are you happy like that?
Yeah.
And the answer to that is no, it doesn't.
Yes. That's exactly that. Because, I mean, lots of people do identify themselves with what's happened to them, whether because they think it gives them some importance, or maybe because they're craving affection, or, you know, that somebody looks after them and that they've found that the best way to do that is to be the sad and unfortunate person. But at the end of the day, does it make you feel happy? And I think that, well, for me personally, the thing that makes me the happiest is the feeling that I have some control over my life. I mean, none of us want to feel that, you know, some of us are born under a lucky star and others are born not under a lucky star. And that's the way it is. And you just embrace it and go on with it, because that's then not giving yourself the chance to be fully who you are. Like you said, to really discover and decide, well, what's my life? You know, what can I use out of all the shitty things which happened to me to actually make me stronger? And then you've taken it to the next step and actually made a career out of helping other people move faster through that program, or that process of, you know, letting go or just acknowledging the past, but not letting it define you, and discovering all the potential that you have in you. Because the thing is, it can never make us happy to define ourselves from being a victim, because we'll never know who we really are. Victims are shut in, they're attached, or they're, you know, they're limited. And there's so much more that we can do when we say, well, that's what happened to me, but that isn't who I am. I mean, you say you have your moments, like we all do, of course. How do you get out of them? What little tip do you use for yourself? Is it a question of reading a book or going for a walk in nature? Or how do you get out?
My medicine is a gratitude walk.
Right.
Because we really, you know, we create our emotions, release hormones in our brain. There's a place in our brain that releases hormones. And when you practice gratitude and you walk at the same time, you have like a double dose of serotonin. And serotonin is a happiness hormone that makes us feel good. And that's what I do. Or if I cannot go for a walk, I listen to some music. Listen to a piece of music that makes me happy. Or I call somebody. Sometimes, yeah. You know, you just call a friend, and even if you moan, and then this person says to me, what's wrong with you? And that's okay. But I think knowing and having a list of those things.
Yes.
And they are individual. They are not the same for everyone. People may hate a walk. You know, they may not want to leave the house. And they are not feeling well. But I think it's about finding out. There is plenty of stuff for free on the internet. You know, what do I do? And then find out of those 10, 20, 30, whatever tips that there are, find the one that works for you.
Right.
Because what works for you may not work for you. For me, it's a walk. I'm a nature girl.
Yes.
And I live very near the sea. I'm very lucky here. So I practically go every morning if I can. And like now I take off my shoes and I walk in the water, or I have friends. I have started a habit as well, especially now during COVID, because coffee shops are closed, and I think it's a perfect way to...
If you have coffee, I'm just checking, just because I'm based in the Netherlands, and for us coffee shops are weed, which is also good for lifting.
Unfortunately, we don't have those, but I'll come and visit you and we can go to... But no, I mean, places where you have coffee. And you see, I don't like to have coffee. I like to have a walk.
Yes.
So because those places were closed, I started having walks with my friends. So several friends, several mornings that are permanently booked for a morning walk. And then we pick up a coffee and go and sit somewhere on a bench, and that does the job.
And walking is very therapeutic as well. I mean, when you're talking about your unconscious mind, you know, our conscious mind is busy remembering, you know, to put our feet in front of each other, and the unconscious mind can then release great ideas. I mean, I remember they used to say that about gardening, about anything which is repetitive, that if your conscious brain is focused on carrying out what it has to carry out, which we're also not aware of, right? We don't think left foot, right foot, or whatever. And I also remember thinking it's fantastic also with teenagers, for example, who don't like sitting down to a face-to-face talk, you know, serious things. When you're walking and you're not looking directly at each other and surrounded by, as you say in your case, beautiful nature, then you can maybe allow yourself to say things that you wouldn't do in a more formal setting.
Yeah, I had the best conversations with my kids in the car.
Right.
Because that's another place where you don't have to look at each other.
Yes.
And, you know, like you can ask like, And that's when they come out with things that they may not tell you in your face right away.
Yeah.
And of course, then I have my kids are grown up. They're 23 and 25, and we have a wonderful relationship. But they were teenagers, and
we've all gone through that, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, tell me about your book. So you have a book called Soul Kit.
I have a book called The Soul Kit. I'm a published author, which is sort of first I tell a little bit my story, and then it's 21 chapters about how to change your life or how to make yourself feel better, because they say that it takes 21 days to change your life.
Right.
So it's a chapter for every day. And I've got lots of people who have my book and they tell me that they pick it up again. And it makes me feel a little bit like Tony Robbins, because I pick up his book.
Exactly. And so this is condensed, basically all that you've learned and experienced, you've then percolated all of that and come out with this book. Well, congratulations on that. I'll make sure I can get a hold of one.
I'll send you one.
With pleasure.
And you know, the funny thing is that I wrote this book. I was working the last 15 years up until last year. I was working as a conference interpreter next to being a coach for the European Police Association. And I was traveling so much and I was spending so much time on planes and in airports and in airport lounges that I wrote my book during trips.
Fantastic.
I never actually sat at home. Okay, I did at the end. I had to finish chapters. I remember I had to finish a few chapters in a hotel room. I had my friend Sarah, who is the co-author, who put it all together. Like, she was pushing me at the end, you know, this chapter needs her. So I think I was in Macedonia or somewhere in a hotel room after the conference finishing chapters. But yeah, I just felt that, first of all, I have a lot of knowledge because of what I experienced, but also, you know, being a tour guide, you hear so many stories.
True.
And people unload on you because you are this neutral person. Yes. They are out of their normal environment. They are away from home. They know that you know nobody that they are talking about. So you are basically the garbage can of and so that's why I became a life coach. I needed tools. I was a life coach before I trained, but of course, then there are tools. I wanted to do it properly. I wanted to study NLP and I wanted to study hypnotherapy. So I trained properly, but it's about knowledge. It's about knowing who reacts how in which situation. I've got more books, because you were saying before about the subconscious mind. I've got one book which is called How to Use Your Subconscious Mind to Get What You Want.
Right.
And I always explain the subconscious mind as the conscious mind is the gardener and the subconscious mind is the garden.
Oh, how beautiful.
Because you decide what you want in your garden, don't you? You decide if you want weed, you decide if you want to leave, because weed will always grow, even if you plant flowers, but there will be weed. So it's up to you to remove the weed.
What a beautiful metaphor. That's lovely.
I loved it. To be honest, I don't think that I have invented it.
But it is a lovely one. Well, the way you've just worded it was beautiful.
Yeah.
We must make sure that you give me a list of your books, actually, and I'll link them underneath for people who want to find out more about you anyway.
Yeah.
But it's such so lovely that you've done that. You know, when I said to you, when we just started this conversation before I even recorded, and I was saying, you know, you glow and all that. And you said, well, I love my life. And tell me, why Cyprus? So you're actually based in Cyprus, right?
Oh, it's love. It's love, really. It's always love. I came here the first time in 1982. Actually, I started a podcast as well, as you know, and I'm talking about these years. It's called Most Memorable Journeys. And I'm talking about the years when I went to work in Greece for the first time in 1980, and then in 81 again in Greece. And then I'm talking about how I came here the first time. I had no idea where I was going.
Yes.
It was just that my resident manager in Athens, when I finished the year before, she told me that we are opening a new destination and it's Cyprus. And I had a vague idea where it is, but I thought it was a Greek island. I didn't know that it was an island. I knew nothing.
Lots of people think that.
And I also, talking about that in the postcard, I didn't know that it was a British colony and that they were driving on the wrong side of the road. And I had no driving experience when I came here. And the island is big. And I had to drive. I'm telling you, I live in Limassol. I still live in Limassol. And there were no highways in 1982. Yeah.
Gosh.
And I had this little Fiat Panda without air conditioning. And I was driving and driving. And I used to get lost. You have to listen to my podcast.
I will. And so then sort of you broke down and met a fantastically handsome Cypriot and decided to stay there forever.
I did. Actually, it's a very, very long story. I met him in 85 in a disco. He liked it when I tell people that I met my husband in a disco, but that's the truth. And then it's a very long story. We only got married 10 years later. I left. I went and worked for other companies and I did bigger tours. But, you know, when it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
I agree.
And we got together and we've been married now for 26 years.
Oh, yes, congratulations.
I love it here. I love Cyprus.
Well, it makes me want to go to Cyprus. I've never been to Cyprus.
You should. Yeah. I don't like everything here. There's a lot of corrupt politicians, but I guess they are everywhere, you know.
And also for those who don't know, both Elizabeth and I are part of the Global Woman Club, and Elizabeth is actually the director for Cyprus. So hopefully once COVID regulations and restrictions are lifted, that we'll be able to travel. And who knows, maybe I shall come over and attend live Global Woman Cyprus meeting. That would be good.
We have a beautiful venue. One of my members, Amas, is the managing director of a resort. There's a place, a restaurant, which is part of a marina, which is actually a point of entry. And this is where we hold our brunches, our breakfast.
Right. Now, Elizabeth, we're nearing the end, but we need to have our tips. So, I mean, there's so much that you have to share. And thanks to your books, I'm sure we can glean a lot more information that we've managed to cover in this short podcast. But if I were to ask you for three tips to give our audience to help them love their life like you do and, you know, pick themselves up when they're down and embrace it all, what would you say were your top three?
I think the top three, the first one, as I said before, it's understanding that it's okay not to feel good sometimes, but to know what to do, to find a way to do something about it instead of feeling sorry for yourself, because that's not getting you anywhere. The second one, definitely focus on what you can change and change it, even if it means leaving your comfort zone, because sometimes we just have to take a leap of faith and do it. And my third one is gratitude, being grateful for what you have, feeling grateful and understanding that if you have a roof over your head, food in your fridge, an electricity switch and running water, you are part of 8% of the world's population.
Wow. Now that puts it in perspective.
Yes. You know, our complaints are very often on a very, very first world level. So, you know, understand how lucky we are to be able to live the way we are living.
Yes. No, I mean, those are definitely tips that we can all live by and very, very concrete. So it's okay not to feel good, to focus on what we can change and change it, and gratitude. I know from previous conversations as well, you also mentioned, you know, being fit and going for walks and all of that. I loved one that you also said, which I shall then quote in your name, which is love as much as you possibly can. Kindness is a superpower. And I do very much believe in that. I find it's not always easy to say to people, and if you just beam love out, that doesn't mean you have to agree with everything or whatsoever. That's, as you say, it's a superpower. It makes us feel better, and nothing can resist love. You know, it's a bit that kill them with kindness thing. There really is nothing. You can't, you can counteract pettiness, meanness, you know, violence. You can counter all of those and feel justified in doing it, but we're all helpless in front of love.
Absolutely.
And indeed, to live a life full, like you say as well here, at the end of the life, you know, people don't regret the things that they did, but the things that they didn't do. So to really just embrace all the things that come our way, not be foolish, obviously, but to dare open the doors maybe a little bit more than we hold them now, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much. Like racism, no child is born a racist, you know.
True.
It's all taught, it's all social conditioning. And it's mostly fear. People are afraid of speaking to somebody sometimes who is of a different color or who speaks a different language. And I think fear is a dream killer. And if we can get rid of a little bit more of our fears and become a little bit more bold and take this step towards somebody who we sometimes, you know, because we tend to judge people that we don't even know.
Even when we try not to, or we think we're not, we do.
Yes. So if we can get rid of a little bit more of the fears.
Yeah, I read something the other day, but it did say something like that basically happiness is not having a perfect life where everything goes well, but it's knowing that come what may, we will cope.
Yes, we will.
And it's the absence of fear. That's exactly what you're saying. It's not being afraid that we're going to fail or that we're not going to be able to cope, but that happiness comes from knowing that whatever comes on your path, we'll cope. Maybe we need help from somebody. Maybe we need a study. Maybe we need to, you know, whatever. It doesn't mean that we have to do it all on our own, but whichever way, we are resourceful and we will cope.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think asking for help is a sign of strength as well. True. That's, I think, that's also maybe an important message for people. The best investment you can make in yourself, because nobody can take it away from you.
Indeed. Indeed. And then also what's great is what we learn in one area, we can use in another. I mean, I think that's also the benefit, you know, when I'm talking about my fabulous After 50 tribe, is that the puzzle pieces start coming together. It's true, isn't it? It's a very liberating feeling. And to have that absence of fear of what others are going to say, or fear of judgment, to just have that acknowledgement of I am who I am with all my warts and good sides as well, and embracing who we are and embracing life, which is very much what I hear you saying. Elizabeth, I want to thank you very, very much for sharing as candidly as you did here. Can you maybe, before I conclude, let us know how can we get hold of you and your books? Do you have a particular website? The information will be online, of course, but is there somewhere particular which is easy to get hold of you and find out what you do, what books you've written, and your podcast indeed about your fantastic travels?
So all my social media is in my name, Elizabeth Villiger-Tufexis. My website is called www.thesoulkit.com, like my book. My podcast is called Most Memorable Journeys.
Beautiful.
Because that's what they are, most memorable.
Yes.
And that's more or less it. Elizabeth is written with an S. But yeah, I'd love to have people tell me what they think about what I said, you know, even if they think that it's total rubbish. But
no, to have people's opinion, I agree. I agree.
Feedback, yes. And I really, really want to thank you for having me. I've very much enjoyed
it. A real pleasure, and I'm already looking forward to booking my trip to Cyprus and
coming and discovering.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Julie.
For the rest of you out there, as always, and Elizabeth mentioned a good point there about feedback. I also would be delighted to hear a feedback on the podcast. Is it what you were expecting? Is it too long? Is it too short? Are the topics what you're interested in? But for today, my questions, as always, to you are, you've listened to the end of this wonderful talk with Elizabeth. So what are you going to take from what you've heard today? What have you learned, and what do you want to change? And when will you change that? It's all, as Elizabeth said, we can dream and we can, you know, try to manifest, but if we don't take action, nothing happens. So give some good thought to which of these wonderful tips from Elizabeth and the knowledge and wisdom and inspiration that she shared, are you going to make your own in order to make your life as fabulous as it can possibly be? Thank you, and see you next week. Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.